This meeting is now being recorded.
But obviously nothing to record.
Okay. I welcome everybody to meeting 15 of the Workstream 2 subgroup, Guidelines on Good Faith in Participating in Board Removal Discussions. Attendance will be taken via the list. If you're on the phone bridge only, please let ICANN staff know so your attendance can be recognized. If anybody has changes to their statement of interest, please let us know. And hopefully this will be a relatively short meeting as we plan to discuss comments posted as of the close of the comment period for our initial report or our draft report on April 24th. And I thought the best way to proceed, since there were so few comments, is if we just posted them, as most of them were fairly brief. There was one comment from a contributor from India who had some interesting recommendations that I thought would be worth discussing with the group, and then we can talk about next steps for this subgroup. So, Yvette, anytime you're ready, you could post the first comment. And I know before we started the recording, Alan had his hand up. Alan, do you still wish to be recognized?
I was just going to say, as chair of ALAC, to take credit for captioning, because that was an at-large innovation which is now being spread to the rest of ICANN. So if you like it, thank you. If you don't like it, I don't want to hear about it. And the intent was to replace transcripts, but not notes, just for the record. Could we have a link
to...
Could we have a link to the to our recommendations so we could look at them in parallel with looking at the comments?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think to do that. Yes, would that be possible to put them in the chat, link?
Let me go ahead and work on that. For on screen, I just have the comments, but let me see. Let me go ahead and try to put the links in the chat.
Some of us have other
right.
Ones, so.
Yeah, I understand. I thought it would be more efficient to actually have the comments up since they haven't been put in a chart or anything. And I think there were a total of either 3 or 4. There weren't very many. I did read through all of them. I don't know if other people had the chance to read through them. And I figured we could use this time productively and just go through them as a group. And I'm very happy to see Nigel Hickson has joined. Welcome, Nigel. All right. Do people want to wait for the link to our draft, or can
no,
we
no, let's,
start?
No, let's proceed.
Okay. So the first comment that was posted on March 7th by Sam Lanfranco. And Sam Lanfranco is a member of MPOC executive team, and I know him personally. He's a professor of economics at in Canada. And so let's just keep that at the top, or release the scroll so that people can scroll at their own pace. You know, I forget what the official, you know, unhook it from your control and let people control their own. They can read at their own pace. Thank you. So I'll ask Yvette to keep a scorecard, so to speak, of the comments. I do believe that typically comments are put into some sort of spreadsheet or scorecard for the ease of the subgroup, and I presume that will happen here. So the first set of comments is from Sam Lanfranco, and he offered support of our standalone recommendation regarding that a standard framework be developed that guidelines apply to all discussions, even discussions that may not be indemnified. And he recommends that the scope of application should be as wide as possible in order to avoid open standards for addressing different issues in ICANN. He writes, this would minimize complications and delays resulting in struggles over appropriate frameworks in particular cases. He would be tempted to see these as first principles with regard to the task at hand. Would anybody like to comment on this statement? Alan.
I I think we all we have to say is thank you. He is supporting what we're saying and suggesting that should the principles be adopted by the CCWG, because they're really something we tossed over the wall to the CCWG, we'll pass on this comment. So I don't think we need to take any action as a result of it.
No, I think it's just we put it in the plus bin. We can now scroll to the next one. I will scroll to. The next one is more complicated. And this came from R.R. Krishna, who is the legal officer and public grievance officer of the National Internet Exchange of India.in. And if you haven't read this, I'll go through this in a nutshell. I did read it. Basically, what Mr. Krishna recommends is that we think about not just good faith, but bad faith. What is bad faith in terms of how individuals may be behaving on behalf of their SOs or ACs within the empowered community? He also goes on to say that our guidelines must stipulate whether the indemnity afforded to the indemnified party should be allowed to continue if bad faith or a malified intent. I've never heard of malified, but I'm assuming that's the opposite of bona fide. So a bad intent is discovered on the part of the indemnified party. And his recommendation is based on the rationale that things should be balanced, that if we're talking about good faith, that we should also be talking about bad faith. So I had some initial thoughts about this, but if anybody would like to speak first, Alan.
Thank you. I think he's trying to go back on what the CCWG recommended. The CCWG explicitly recommended that there be no specific cause, and it could be as frivolous or malicious as possible, as long as it is accurate and can be demonstrated. Thus the purple pants analogy. So I think he's trying to go back and rethink under what grounds we could remove someone, and I don't believe this is within our scope.
Yeah, I does anybody else have a hand up? Bernie.
Thank you. On this one, en passant, I'll completely agree with Alan. But I originally put up my hand to say, yes, I'll be drafting up the standard form reporting the comments before the next meeting of this group. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to add in that I tend to agree with Alan, maybe under a different rationale. I don't really think this goes to causation as much as it's saying, well, if we can't talk about good faith, we'll talk about the bad faith. And I think the issue of bad faith has to be handled within each SO and AC. You know, and each SO and AC can decide whether a charge or some other, I'll just say charge, against a board member for whatever reason, if their own member is acting in good faith, bad faith, or frivolously, that is an internal SOAC issue. I don't think it's a community-wide issue. And to a point Avery made meetings ago, and which I completely agree with, it's going to be up to the different SOACs if they do make a proposal to remove a board member. They're going to have to convince other SOACs to join in the proposal. So whether or not someone acted in good faith or bad faith, it, regardless of the indemnity itself, is going to have to be evaluated by each SOAC. And since we are looking at a legalistic remedy here, how does an indemnity get triggered? It gets triggered when you've acted in good faith. Then the parallel, well, you've acted in bad faith, so no indemnity, doesn't necessarily need to be proven. And I think this goes to more of an element of proof rather than a particular rationale for causation. Alan.
Yeah, note that the raising the concept of good faith and bad faith was in the explanation. What he is suggesting, however, is focused on the underlined phrase. That is, he does not agree that we should be able to use any reason, but he wants to be able to narrow the reasons And then you have to consider good faith and bad faith in interpreting whether you have actually identified a valid reason for dismissing. But the premise is, his premise is that it was too wide and therefore needs to be constrained. And that, I believe, is against the CCWG recommendations.
Right. I agree on that point, Alan. Absolutely. We are not in the constraint business. We are in a broad-based standard that can apply to any SOAC in any situation.
Remember, we're working under California law where there is no rationale needed for dismissing.
Thank you for reminding us, yes. Does anybody else have any comments? If not, we can move on to the next set of comments. Okay, why don't we do that? I'm going to take a second to scroll to the next page, which I think is another brief one. This is from AFMIC, our friend Matthew Weil, who won't be there very much longer. So we look forward to meeting his successor. And AFMIC generally supported the recommendations, and they commended our group, which was very nice. They had two extra suggestions directed to Workstream 2. I don't know how relevant it is or isn't, but I think this goes to our standalone recommendations. First, that the enhancement of SOAC accountability may also benefit from considering how these type of good faith guidelines may be included in a set of SOAC best practices, which I think is a nice suggestion because it may not go to a mandated framework as much as suggested best practices, which might be the route we decide is best for the community. Second, we believe similar guidelines may also be considered by the staff accountability working group if issues of good faith were raised as part of its issue identification effort. I think those are all good suggestions. Bernie, you have your hand up. Oh, we skipped the second part of Krishna's comment. I'm sorry. Let me go back. I don't see the second part that we didn't address.
There's the reference to paragraph
part,
4. Page 4, paragraph 4, the rationale for recommendations. He's suggesting that all ACs and SOs should have uniform procedures. At least that's the way
I read it. Oh, okay. You know what? Yeah, let me quickly look again. I just didn't recall it. Thank you for reminding us. I'll read it aloud for people. The recommendations in the paragraph stipulate that different guidelines, different internal standards can be framed for each SOSC. Though the reasoning provided in the said paragraph supports such a recommendation in a good perspective, taking into account the non-interference in decision-making of the individual SOSACs, it must be noted that such differences should not become a legal impediment or hurdle in future that a defense is raised or setback caused for the process of removal, that different standards and guidelines are in place for SOACs. I understand that point. As a matter of abundant caution, uniform guidelines may be put in place, which is approved by consensus of all SOACs. This may certainly be time-consuming, but uniform guidelines are key for such crucial, critical process of removal of directors to avoid any objections later. I have a reaction to that in that we discussed this. This was an issue we had talked about, you know, how conformative or restrictive we wanted to be. And while I think that Mr. Krishna raises a very, very good point, and there definitely could be a defense of a board member that there's different standards, I think, again, we're talking about whether or not a individual representing the empowered community has acted on good faith. And I think that's a little different than having uniform standards about what would or wouldn't be acceptable and how a board member is proposed to be removed. If people agree with that, could you let me know with a little green, whatever, if people still want to think about it, let me know. Alan?
Thank you. I agree with it, but moreover, I'm not sure which has precedence. We took a very specific approach that is in line with ICANN's rules that each AC and SO sets up its own operating procedures, and we are not going to dictate that they must all come together and come up with a uniform set of processes.
I agree. And I think the response there is, if we choose to respond, is that we appreciate it, understand the rationale, but we considered this in our deliberations and came to a different conclusion. I think that's the polite response to that particular comment.
And cite what our rationale was.
Right. Of course. Now I'll go to AFNIC. Sorry about that, guys. So AFNIC was generally supportive, as I said, and they offered two other suggestions, which I thought were very worth considering. And these go more to our standalone suggestions than the actual guidelines. And that is that the enhancement of SOAC accountability may also benefit from considering how this type of good faith guidelines may be included in a set of best practices. Secondly, we believe similar guidelines may be considered by the staff accountability working group if issues of good faith were raised as part of its issue identification effort. And I think those are all laudable recommendations that we certainly can include in our report. Does anybody have a different reaction? Oh, yes, Aubrey stating in the chat that those aren't this group's issue, should pass this on to the other groups. We can do that. Bernie, I wanted to ask you, if we have recommendations for the other groups, is this something that I raise as the rapporteur in a plenary, or should we write a letter? How do you suggest that we convey these ideas?
I think it's perfectly fine if you write to your fellow rapporteurs from the other groups directly, copying the co-chair so they're aware of it, because they're trying to keep track of intergroup activities.
Okay, so Yvette, could you put an action item here for me to draft a communication to the chairs of the working group in terms of the best practices generally, and then to the rapporteurs for the staff accountability for the second suggestion. It could be an easy email. Does anybody have any other comments or questions about this input from AFNIC? Okay, if not, we will move on. Oops. Okay, and the next one is from the business constituency, and it was an endorsement from Steve Del Bianco, pretty straightforward. Always appreciate Steve's endorsement, as he knows this process inside out. Oh, I see Avery in the chat has commented a little more about my suggestion to send communications to the co-rapporteurs, and email's good enough. I agree. I can make it a formal email, not a hey you guys kind of thing, but, you know, write a very nice letter. If people would like to see the letter before I send it, I can certainly send it to the list. Would people like to see the letter before I send it? If you would, raise your hand. Seeing no hands. Oh, Bernie.
Just a note that regardless of whether you get formal approval, it's usually common practice if you will send something out to the group to copy the group list.
Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, if I send something to the other co-rapporteurs, I will let the group know that I sent it. I will copy the group. I was asking if whether or not they wanted to see it before I sent it, and people have said no. And Alan, you're next.
Yeah, I'd suggest send it out to the group and give us 3 days. If anyone has any or 2 days, whatever, any riveting comments to make them, you probably won't get any, but I think it's just a matter of good form to make sure that we can catch your spelling mistake, if not something more substantive.
Yeah. I'm notorious for that, so that's an excellent point. All right, I will send to the group before I send anything, and appreciate all comments about typos and grammar, as I am the worst proofreader of my own work, as many are. So thank you. Now this next one, I don't see who this is from, and I don't remember reading it. Interesting. This is a long one. Yvette, could you help me out? The one after Steve Del Bianco's comment? Jason. Jason signed it. I don't know who Jason is, and I can't see on the screen.
The person's name was Jason Schiller, S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R.
Okay, that name is familiar with me. Was he commenting as an individual or as representing a constituency?
His disclaimer says he's an individual.
Okay, Alan, is that an old hand or a new hand?
No, that's a new hand, and this comment needs a bit of background. He's commenting on as an individual, but as a participant within that community and within several different parts of that community. What you're seeing is a combination of different things. Part of it is the angst over the fact that the ASO is part of ICANN almost due to a technicality, and they are not part of the operational part of ICANN. They have a memorandum of understanding that is very limited, and none of the empowered community things really fit within that model. However, during the accountability process, it was very clear to some of us, including some of the ASO people, that the empowered community was not likely to go forward without them participating. There were not enough people left.
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed with that and said they would participate. But exactly how they are going to participate is really a very major question in their minds. And a lot of that is coming through here. All of that being said, he does raise a couple of questions that I think we're going to have to think carefully about. For instance, and I haven't gone back to our recommendations, but he says at one point, we talk about the whole AC or SO must be involved. And that's really problematic for them. And we probably want to change those words to the appropriate body within the AC or SO. For instance, for the ACs, it's easy. The ALAC is the committee, and we have a larger at-large around us that is not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
As a committee. In the GNSO, it is the GNSO that is the empowered community, and if council, a subset, acts on behalf of the GNSO. There is the comparable thing within the ASO is a bit more complex. And the concept of involving the whole community, that is all of the RIRs, just is outside of the scope of what we're talking about. So we probably need to look at our wording and make sure that when we're talking about the ACs and SOs, there's wording that does fit within the scope of the ASO. He also later mentions, and it is a very long document, but he does mention that that no one can speak on behalf of the ASO. When we talk about who's being indemnified, it's representatives of. But we don't make clear what is reasonably clear, but perhaps not enough in the CCWG report itself, is that whoever is being indemnified are people who have been identified by the SO or its governing body or whatever, or the AC, and we need to make sure that is explicit in ours too. So I think there's a few wording changes that we need to make, and I'm not prepared to make them on the fly because I just read this comment very briefly before the meeting. But I think he has identified perhaps a couple of small wording changes where we need to be more precise to make sure that what we are suggesting fits for the ASO, even if it's still a bad fit. But we're not going to fix that altogether.
Right. I appreciate that. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind taking that particular task on, suggesting which wording should be changed and where, given that you understand the context. I'll read it myself, of course, and make suggestions, but I would like to hear your suggestions independent of what I conclude to see if we reach similar conclusions.
Yeah. Well, it may not get done until at least a week or a bit from now. I don't know if we have our next meeting next week or in 2 weeks. I just have a very, very tight schedule right now that is getting tighter, but I'd be glad to do it. I think I do understand the issues. And interestingly, they came up in a meeting with the chairs of the Empowered Community, the chairs of the groups of the Empowered Community that was held during the last meeting in wherever we were, Copenhagen, I think. Yes, they are part of the ASO is part of the community. No, they're probably not going to back out, but it's a really difficult fit, and I think we have to be cognizant of that. So,
okay, I think that's workable. I think we're flexible enough that that's workable, Alan. And it looks like Jason may have identified a typographical error in the formatting, so I'll go over that too. At the very end, you said there's a section 3-2-D.B. Is section 2DA, is section 3-2DB intended to be 2D1 or additional la la. So I'll go ahead and make sure that the formatting is. I thought I said that several times, but we still may have missed something. Yes, the next meeting is Wednesday, May 3rd, and we were planning to meet weekly, but for the week of May 24th, as my organization's annual meeting, and 10,000 of my best friends and I will be meeting in Barcelona. So I will not be conducting a call that week. But other than that, I plan to conduct weekly calls unless we feel otherwise.
It's Alan. This is the last comment we have, I think. And
is it?
I think okay. There were only five comments, and two of them, the AFNIC and the business constituency, were essentially, thanks for the good work. So there's only three comments.
I was the moderator. Who's that?
And I don't know who that is. So we really only have.
Introduce the panel. Read out the bios. Not much. Just kind of moderate, and then after, if you didn't get into it,
Olivier.
A little speak, and then when you finish, I will go back.
Olivier? Oh, no, it's not Olivier. He's not on the call. I thought it might be Olivier, but it's not. Olivier wasn't even on the call. I thought I recognized a francophone.
It was, but...
Thanks.
I was going to suggest, I don't think we're going to need more than one more meeting. Why don't we let Bernie work on the formal, the response form, and I'll do something probably not until the weekend of the 6th. And if we then meet...
So do you want to...
I think if we skip next week meet on the, whatever the date is, April 10th, May 10th, rather, that I think we'll be finished, unless someone sees a tiger lurking in the bushes.
No, but so I'm going to ask Bernie, because this is the first time that I've chaired a group like this. So if we decide to acknowledge, we will acknowledge the comments in the final report. Do you recommend that we do more than that? Like, I don't know that I want to go in and parse out Mr. Krishna's comments, except to say very briefly that we appreciate them, we considered them. We decided against them for a very brief rationale. I don't know that it requires a real deep dive of a response, Bernie.
Thank you, Lori. That's really up to the group, but a summary response with a rationale for the response is probably minimal and acceptable.
Okay, because I don't want to get into a back and forth. I think it's an issue that is just not doesn't require that kind of attention. I think we need to acknowledge it, but not parse it out. All right, so do we have any other business, or did we get through this super efficiently, which would be so great, and everybody could have a half an hour back in their life? So let me just reiterate what the next steps I think should be. I draft two communications to the respective leaders regarding the suggestions from AFNIC, one being on a best practices guidelines for lack of a better word, to go directly to the CCWG chairs, and then a letter to the co-rapporteurs on staff accountability with a suggestion. So those are two follow-ups. Staff to do the comments chart. Alan to look at responding to the ASO concerns with proposed tweaks. Lori to do the same. And, of course, any other member of the group is welcome to do the same as well and see where Lori and Alan come out on proposed language changes. And I think that's it. Did anybody else have any comments or questions?
Lori Cheryl here. Just wanted to draw your attention. Thanks. Just wanted to draw your attention to GNSO has been using various variations on a pro forma that was developed quite some years ago now, I guess, where there is a simple way of showing that you have attended to all of the PC pieces that have come in. And it is important. It goes right back to the ATRT 1 days where we called for ACs and SOs, the SOs in particular, to show that when they call for comment or input, demonstrate that it had been recognised, discussed and dealt with. So Bernie's suggestion of a simple recognition piece is important, but I think you'll find there's probably a couple of simple pro formas that are out there circulating of various antiquities, and if we just grab one of those or create something simple ourselves, I think that will be useful. And if we're going to create something simple ourselves, Bernie, I would suggest it's probably something that should be done across all of the topics, not just for ours. I don't know whether staff's already got one of those on the shelf or not.
Okay, Bernie. Oh, Bernie typed in the chat. He's considering it now. Okay.
Yeah, it's probably important to look at that because it is an important part of the accountability to community that we owe them.
Right.
Without being honest.
I would just want to caution that in using pro forma responses that we make that balance between not dismissing as well. I think given the effort that Mr. Krishna put into the response, I would probably want to do pro forma plus, you know, just to let him know we really need it.
Laurie, I'm sorry I can't pull one up and share it with you. It can be as much or as little as we need. The ones I'm thinking of are, you know, glorified spreadsheets, for the want of a better word, in the landscape format, which lists the PCs. Has a synopsis or summary of the key points and indicates that it was received, it was noted, it was discussed, and changes were or were not made.
Okay. And, yeah, I see Alan typed into the chat with Cheryl and me here, former ATRT folks. We will not let this go without a reasonable response. Thank you.
And Avery, yep.
And Avery. Avery. Funny. So I think I could give people back 24 minutes of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, does anybody else have any suggestions or comments? We agreed we would meet in 2 weeks. Bernie.
Okay, I was just trying to be clear. We are canceling next week's call.
Yes, we are canceling next week's call, and we'll agree to meet again on May 10th. Normally, then, if we do it every 2 weeks thing, if we need to meet after that, it'll have to be the first week of June, as I am out of commission May 24th.
We'll have it all put to bed by then, don't you worry.
Good, because there's so much more coming down the pike.
Oh, you've noticed that, eh?
All right.
Hey, we got a late start of this, but we're coming out of this race ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, I wanted to particularly thank the group, recognize all the stalwarts who've been on the call. We've been a small but mighty group, lots of really good engagement and participation. I just want to let you guys know that I have received incredible feedback on how well we've worked, how well the process worked, the clarity of the report, the clarity of the reasoning. So I want to just give you all a real big thank you, because we did a good job and it's being recognized, and I think we have to pat ourselves on the back occasionally. Bernie.
And credit to you too, Laurie.
We should also give credit to the CCWG, who gave us, compared to some of the other tasks, a relatively easy one.
Right. Although, as we acknowledge, deceptively easy, because when you really think it through, it's not that easy.
No.
You know, given all the different actors on the stage.
Very true.
But I agree. This is.
Thank you, Laurie.
Yeah, this is not jurisdiction. Yeah, this is not. This is not jurisdiction or human rights. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
Oh, she read the subtext. How did that happen?
All right. Good night. Good day.
Thanks a lot, bud.
All right, guys. You're
Bye.
Having way too much
Bye-bye.
Fun. Time to cut this.
Oh, but Bernie, let us have fun.
Bye.
Thank you.